Good morning. Morning. Let's turn to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. Luke 18, verses 18 through 23. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this morning. I thank you for your presence here. And I thank you for your love for each of us. And I thank you that we could come and spend some time in your word and in prayer. And I just ask that you would come and speak to us today and that you will help us to really pray and to meet with you. We give you this time. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. It's November. Can't believe it. The year is almost up and it's getting colder. So it's interesting. This message is not about the poor, actually. I know this passage sometimes could be used to talk about the poor and what we should do, but I think that's awesome. I mean, since Sunday, I've just been mulling over this idea of poverty and what I can do. And interestingly enough, with my Fuller course that I'm doing, this week, the whole week, topic is about poverty and what the church can do to kind of respond to poverty. So I've had the privilege of just kind of meditating upon it all week. But this message is not about the poor. This message is not about poverty. Because sometimes when we read this passage, we interpret this passage as something that applies to all of us universally. Right? And we get quite stressed. I know that many of us will read this passage and we get quite stressed out. We think, sell everything. Sell everything you have to obtain eternal life. What does that mean? You know? And we think, okay, God must mean sell. You know, sometimes I've heard people say, sell everything. But, you know, because Jesus doesn't say, give everything. He just says, sell everything you have. Give to the poor. So some people say, you sell everything, but you give a little bit to the poor. And, you know, I don't know. Many people come up with lots of different ways to interpret this. And we think, you know, how do we obtain this? But my take on the passage, it might be a little bit different from how other people see it. I see this passage as a specific instruction to this specific individual, this rich young ruler. And I believe that Jesus is saying this to him, specifically to this rich young ruler, because to that rich young ruler, his love of money and the wealth that he had was what was holding him back from really inheriting the eternal life, from really having a relationship with Jesus and from really being able to follow Jesus. It's because he was a wealthy person and because he had a love for the money, that's why he couldn't really follow Jesus. And that's why Jesus addresses it. Because Jesus is operating, I believe, in the spiritual gift of word of knowledge. I think Jesus knows his heart. He knows the depth of this person's heart and he knows what is his idol. You know, he knows what it is that's holding him back from truly being able to give up everything and follow Christ. So Jesus addresses that directly. He says, you have one thing that you're lacking. You need to sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and then follow me. Because that was the one thing that was holding him back. And then, and so Jesus calls him out on it. You know, Jesus knows his heart and he calls him out on the thing that was in his heart that was holding him back. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about. You know, in my experience with God growing up in a Christian home, my understanding of God was that God was pretty harsh, that he would always tell us to do stuff. He would command us to do this. He would command us to do that. And if we didn't meet it, we just weren't good enough. You know, you could never really be good enough in the church. You know, my grandfather's a pastor. My dad's a pastor. You can never be good enough in just doing a lot of stuff. And there were difficult commands. I felt a burden, you know, as a Christian. I felt this deep sense of duty, but it wasn't followed by my joy, you know, my love for God. So then as I grew up, and when I went to university, I did my YWAM DTS experience. I became set free. I was set free from this kind of harsh burden of God because I understood and I began to experience the goodness of God. I realized that God is a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. And he's not about making my life difficult, making my life miserable. He is our Father who just loves me just as I am and is pleased with me. That was kind of the thing that kind of set me free from this. And I was like, no, God loves me. He loves me the way I am, and he is for me, not against me. And that was great. But I am beginning to realize that I'm so far on this camp of understanding the goodness of God, that God is good and he loves me and he just takes care of me, that I have subconsciously begun to have this attitude of comfort. You know, God loves me. He's a good God, and he's going to lead me to good things. And by good things, the way I subconsciously have interpreted it is, good things is comfortable things, things that I like to do. God's going to lead me to things that I enjoy. God's going to lead me to things that are good, quote unquote, good to me, comfortable to me. You know, and I didn't even realize it until yesterday. I was reading this passage. I was reading this passage, meditating, and God spoke to me through verse 23. Verse 23 says, when he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. He says, when this young man heard this, he became very sad. And this is what I wrote in my Bible. It says, God is good, but sometimes his commands will make us sad because it'll stretch us, it'll challenge us, because we need to grow up. You've heard this quote, God loves us just as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. God loves us just as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. And I, you know, just yesterday, I just began to realize, man, I've been experiencing the goodness of God and the kindness of God, the mercy of God, so much so that I forgot that God does this. I forgot that sometimes when God speaks to us, man, it makes us sad. It makes us disheartened. It discourages us, and it kind of shocks us, and it's like, oh man, I don't think I can do this. It seems like it's impossible for us to do the thing that he's commanding us to do. But he will do it. You know, don't think that God will only ask you to do things that are comfortable for you, that you know you will be able to do. Because I think God's going to ask us to do things that's going to stretch us, that's going to challenge us, that's going to be difficult, and it's going to make us sad in some way. It's going to be like, oh man, I just don't think I can do this. But God wants us to grow up. You know, he wants to challenge us, and he knows that we need to grow up. We need to mature. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. He wants to grow us up, and he's leading us. I don't know if you guys understand, like, this feeling of just being like, being rocked by God. Like, it's a burden. But sometimes when God commands us to do something, it's a burden. It's not always just this, oh, I have the joy of God, I have the peace of God, and I feel so happy, you know? Because sometimes it's going to be a burden, but there's a deep sense of peace, deep sense of knowing that, man, this is what God's called me to do. And even though it's difficult for me to do, I know that I need to obey, and when I step in obedience, God's going to bless it, and I'm going to grow up, and I'm going to mature. Because, you know, many of us actually pray this prayer. We pray to God and say, God, we want to grow. Man, we want to grow in intimacy with you. We want to grow in our anointing. We want to grow in this and that. And then often we forget that growth comes through distress. You know, growth comes through difficult times. And so God will challenge us and he'll nudge us and he'll say, hey, why don't you step into this? Why don't you step out in faith and do this? Because this is going to grow you. And then we become sad and we say, God, we walk away sad because we're like, oh, I don't know if we can do this. It challenges us. Why do we become sad? I think because Jesus addresses the thing that's in our hearts that is so precious to us, but it is not God. You know, it's other than God, this thing other than God that is so precious to us that we keep in our hearts. And it competes for our devotion. It competes for our attention. And it's these things, sometimes we turn them into our identity. You know, this man, he says, he became very sad because he was wealthy. I think wealth and riches kind of became his identity. This was the thing that he was holding most precious unto, and Jesus wanted him to be able to let that go. You know, so same thing for us. I think there are things precious to us, but it's not God, and it competes for our attention, competes for our devotion. And we need to, and I believe God challenges us to let it go. So my example is this. So I just read this yesterday morning after EMP, and I was like, wow, God was like, you know, sometimes God will command us to do something, it'll make us sad, it'll challenge us. And God spoke to me about that. And then later on that day, I get an email from Pastor Sam, because Pastor Sam is going to be away at the EG retreat this weekend, and he had talked about maybe finding a different speaker to speak on Sunday, and he had somebody in mind, but that person couldn't do it. And so in the email he said, hey, either Eugene or Nate is gonna need to preach this Sunday. And as soon as I read that, I was like, bam, you know, because what's important to me in my heart is if I really look deep, it's a reputation, appearing good before man, approval of man, you know, fear of man. All those things, that's important to me. And I have done worship leading enough times that when I get up on stage to lead worship, I don't always struggle with this. I don't always feel like, oh, I don't always get nervous. I don't always fear how it's going to be. But preaching is a challenge. I'll just be honest. Preaching on Sunday morning in the adult congregation, it challenges me. It really, you know, it's a growth process for me. And it really challenges me to lay down myself. You know, it's pride. I make it about myself because I drive my sense of identity in how well I do things, right? And it becomes about me. But it really is a challenge, but it's an opportunity for me to lay down myself, lay down this pride, lay down this thing of making myself, you know, look good or appear good before man. And so, because there was an option. And Eugene, he is happy to preach whenever he's called upon. It's not a thing for him. So I could have easily just said, oh, you know, why don't you take it? Because Saturday is crazy busy for me this week. So I was, you know, I can easily say, you know, PUG, I think you should do it, you know? Bless you. But I knew from the morning when God spoke to me about this, man, that God was challenging me. And he was saying, it's an opportunity for you to grow. And he was telling me, you know, you need to let this go. You need to let this pride, this making this thing about yourself kind of thing. You need to let that go. And the only way I'm going to overcome it is by, you know, doing it, by jumping in, stepping out in faith. And the last thing I want to leave us with is, it's not that God wants me to fail and be so miserably embarrassed to the core that I will learn to deal with this, right? That's not God's heart. If I step out in faith, the goodness of God comes in, right? And he takes care of me, and he takes care of us. Sometimes that's how we think, like, oh, God wants me to learn that it's not about me. So what's going to happen is I'm going to fail miserably, and it's going to be so sad, and it's going to be so pathetic that I'll learn that it's not about me, that I'll learn that my identity comes from the Lord. And maybe, if that's really something that needs to happen. But oftentimes, I believe when we step out in faith and we deal with this thing that blocks us from stepping out in faith, and when we actually do step out in faith, God takes care of us. And he leads us to good things. And same thing for the rich young ruler. I think if he had obeyed Jesus, sold everything he had, and followed Christ, God would have taken care of him. God would have met his needs. He wouldn't have gone hungry. You know, I mean, maybe he would have a couple of meals, but, you know, he would have been taken care of because God is a good God and he's leading him into good things. And so whatever it is, if God speaks to you today about, I don't know, laying something down or stepping out in faith and obedience, and it might challenge you, it might make you sad because you feel like, man, that's not something I want to do. You know, I just want to encourage you that, you know, when you step out in faith, God will lead you to good things and he will take care of you. And I don't know, I mean, yesterday this God spoke to me in the morning and then the thing came. So maybe for you today, something will happen, something will come your way and you'll be like, oh, God is challenging me, and you will be able to step out in faith and obedience. So let's just go before the Lord in worship. Janella is going to come and lead us. I'll just pray for us. God, I pray that you would come and speak to us. I thank you for your word, and I thank you that you want us to grow. You know, I mean, we want to grow. We want to grow in intimacy. We want to grow in our maturity. And sometimes it will make us sad, and it'll challenge us, and it'll really kind of rock us, God. It will get us out of this place of comfort, and I pray that you will help us to just walk in obedience. And as Holy Spirit, help us to just turn to you and hear from you as we worship you. God, thank you, Lord.
Transgressions from us, as far as has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us.
Go before the Lord, and let's just ask the Lord to come and speak to us. And I was just thinking of trying to think of some examples, you know, and I think maybe a few of us maybe struggle with the same thing as me, you know, fear of man, kind of having looking good before people, and maybe that's what God wants to challenge us in. And I think some people could be like the wealthy young ruler. You know, we have our money and our possessions, our riches is kind of what holds us against fully following Christ, and God might challenge us against that. Maybe it's, you know, relationships. You know, we just pride ourselves in maybe our relationships, and that's kind of our thing, and God might challenge us in that. And some of us might be career. You know, that's kind of our the thing that's so precious to us, that's holding us from really following Christ, and maybe God's challenging us in that. So whatever it might be, let's allow the Holy Spirit to just come and speak to us and kind of show us what it is that might keep us from growing, might keep us from really living this life that Christ wants to live, wants us to live. So let's just go before the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Let's go before God with our community prayer focus. Let's pray for the ones that have cancer. Let's really pray for God's healing to come upon them. Let's pray for those that are going through chemotherapy and those that need bone marrow transplant. So let's pray for them. Let's lift them up together. Thank you. Let's pray for those that need healing as well as salvation. Let's just pray that God will move and bring His goodness upon these people. Let's pray for them. Let's go to our third slide. Let's just pray for those that are going through different infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing to come upon our church members and our family members. Let's pray together. Go to fourth slide. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's breakthrough to come. Let's pray for the release and favor. Let's pray that God will give them patience and assurance in this time of waiting, and that they'll be able to use their time wisely. So let's pray for our community. Let's pray for Stanley. His father just passed away a few days ago, and let's pray for Eshin. Her mother passed away in Korea, I think 2 days ago. So let's just lift them up, and let's pray for God's peace and for the comforting presence of God. So let's pray for them. Let's go to our Thursday prayer focus. Let's pray for Japan, Thailand, and North Korea. Let's pray for our contacts there, and let's pray that God would bless them and strengthen them and encourage them, and Let's pray that God will move in these nations. And please pray for the upcoming NK trip and for those that are going on the trip, that God will prepare their hearts to see what God wants them to see in that place. Let's pray for those three countries. Let's pray for our SP ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and the nursery and the youth ministry and men and women's ministry. Let's pray for the leaders. Let's pray that it'll be just a powerful ministry where people can really be blessed and encouraged through this ministry. Pray for our children, our teachers, and for our youth group students and our teachers as well. Thank you. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Conduit, Island, and Meg Robinson, and Elements. Let's pray for a real good time of house church gathering, sharing, and really loving each other, ministering to each other, and meeting with God. So let's pray for our house churches. Thank you, Father God. We just come before you with all our prayer requests, and we thank you that you hear them. Help us to pray with faith, God, and help us to pray with perseverance, Lord. And this morning, as we come before you, we all have our own prayer requests that we bring to you. I pray that you will help us to pray, help us to connect with you and to meet with you. And I pray as we go to our own workplaces, God, or our homes, I pray that we would be sensitive to your presence, God, and to what you're saying to us. I thank you for your presence with us, God, throughout the day. Thank you for that promise that you will always be with us. And I pray that your blessings of just your presence, your peace, and your joy over our congregation, and help us to bring joy to your heart today in some way. Thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.